Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We're going to be in the book of Joshua, still in the book of Joshua, our favorite book. Our favorite book until we get to Judges. Once we get to Judges, Joshua, we'll leave it behind for now. But we're going to go through chapter 17 and 18. Okay, we're going to go through Joshua 17 and 18. I'll let you guys get there, then we'll open in prayer. The book of Joshua, the first book in the Bible with someone's name attached to it, and not written by Moses. All right, let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather together this afternoon to go through these two chapters, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to lead us, that your Holy Spirit will lead us, and that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your word, and that you'd speak directly to us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. In chapter 17, the tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim, descendants of Joseph, Joseph's sons, they're assigned the land, but they request more land, as we're going to find out, citing the difficulties of clearing the mountain country and the strength of the Canaanites that were living in the area, right? Prompting Joshua to challenge them and tell them, go take the land that God has given you. You can do it. Have faith. This is what this is about. So we're going to read. I'm going to read down to verse 13, and then we'll stop there and we'll talk for a few minutes. Verse 1. It says, there was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph, namely for Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war. Therefore, he was given Gilead and Bashan. And there was a lot for the rest of the children of Manasseh, according to their families. For the children of Abiezer, the children of Halak, the children of Ezreal, the children of Shechem, the children of Hefer, and the children of Shemada. These were the male children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, according to their families. But Zelophehad, that's a tough one, right? Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, had no sons. That's going to be important. We're going to talk about that. He had no sons, but only daughters. And these are the names of the daughters: Mahala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the rulers, saying, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brothers. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among their father's brothers. 10 shares fell to Manasseh, besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, which were on the other side of the Jordan. Verse 6, because the daughters of Manasseh received an inheritance among his sons, and the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead. Verse 7, and the territory of Manasseh was from Asher to Michmethah and lies east of Shechem. And the border went along south to the inhabitants of En-Tapuah. Manasseh had the land of Tapuah, which is a city. But Tapuah on the border of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim, his brother. And the border descended to the brook Cana, southward to the brook. These cities of Ephraim are among the cities of Manasseh. You got all this, right? You paying attention? The borders of Manasseh were on the north side of the brook, and it ended at the sea. Southward it was Ephraim's, northward it was Manasseh's, and the sea was its borders. Manasseh's territory was adjoining Asher on the north of Issachar on the east. verse 11. And in Issachar and in Asher, Manasseh and Beth Sheen, and its towns, Bleem and its towns, the inhabitants of Dor and its towns, the inhabitants of Endor and its towns, the inhabitants of Taanach and its towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and its towns, three hilly regions. Verse 12. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And it happened when the children of Israel grew strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor. Look at this. But they did not utterly drive them out. I'll stop there for a minute. So we've been seeing as we're going through the scriptures that Israel was not driving out these seven wicked nations that God wanted them to drive out. The Canaanites. They're one of them. And here we have again where it says they did not utterly drive them out of the land. This land was promised to Israel. All right, it says that it said that the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, distinct from the tribe in chapter 16, received its portions of split inheritance west of the Jordan to the north and to the east near the lake of Chinneroth. Chinneroth is the Sea of Galilee. So if you look at that map, we had a map that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, that half of the tribe of Manasseh was on the other side of the Jordan, right? They requested that one, right? And the other half, though, went into the promised land. So we got 2.5 tribes living on the outside of the promised land, and we have the other tribes, the inside. But half of Manasseh, one stayed out on the outside, and one went on the inside, which we're reading about. Right, it says in verse 3 through 6, this fellow by the name of Zelophehad, okay, from the Manasseh tribe, this man had no sons, right, as we just read, as heirs. But his 5 daughters that he had, right, they were received the inheritance, okay? So God led Moses back in Numbers chapter 27, which we went over a while ago. God led Moses to give the rights to the daughters if there was no sons. This man, Zelophehad, had no sons, but he was part of the Manasseh tribe, so his daughters got his inheritance. We'll go ahead. Why don't you hold your spot there? I know we went over this before. These are short chapters, so let's jump to a hold your spot and go to Numbers chapter 27. We're just going to look at 7 verses. And this is exactly about what we're reading about. So if you skip to Numbers 27, we'll check this out. This is the inheritance laws. And it's exactly about who we're talking about. Numbers 27, verses 1 through 7. Okay. It says, then came the daughters of Zelophehad. We're just reading about them now. The sons of Hepher, the sons of Gilead, the sons of Magar, the son of Manasseh, from the families of Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, right? They're all from Joseph. And these were the names of his daughters, the same girls we just read about, right? Hala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Same daughters that we're talking about, right? It says, and they stood before Moses, okay? And it says, before Eleazar the priest and before the leaders of all the congregation by the doorway of the tabernacle of meeting, saying, our father died in the wilderness. So we know that their father was the one who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, right? Remember, God only took the 20-year-olds and under, except for Caleb and Joshua, into the promised land because of their disobedience. He made them wander in the wilderness. We went over that for 40 years, okay? Zelophehad was one of them, okay? So it says here, our father died in the wilderness, but he was not in the company of those who gathered together against the Lord, we remember this, in the company with Korah. Remember Korah? They rebelled against the Lord. And it says, but Korah, he died in his own sin. That's tragic. That's not good. That means he didn't go into heaven. He died in his own sin, Korah. Okay? He was from the Levites. And he had no sons. Why then the name of our father be removed from among the families? Because he had no sons. His daughter said, give us possession among our father's brothers. So Moses brought their case before the Lord. See, stop right there for a second. You see, this is important for us to notice. You notice how Moses, it says, he went to the Lord. Something arised. He says, I'm going to go to the Lord for counsel, just like we're supposed to, right? So it says, so Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak what is right. That's what the Lord said. You shall surely give the possession of inheritance among the father's brothers and cause the inheritance of their fathers to pass to them. He's talking about to their daughters. So this now, let's jump back into where we were. We're back into Joshua, okay? And we can do it. So Zelophehad, right, these daughters approached Moses and Eleazar back then, asked them to receive the portion of the land in Canaan. Now that they're in Canaan, they want, you know, they want this land as an inheritance to carry on their father's name, okay? So Moses went to the Lord, right, on this matter, and the Lord approved it. Said, absolutely, give it to the daughters. He had no sons, right? God had further instructions on how the land was to pass down through the families in the event of someone didn't have any sons. Also, if a man died without a male heir, the land was to be given to the daughters, and if the daughters, okay, right, if he had no daughters, then the land went to his brother. All right, so it's going passed down. And if he had no brothers, the land would be given to the closest relative. God always wanted the land to stay within the tribe. Always wanted that. He didn't want tribes sharing lands and all. This is your inheritance. This is your land. Keep it in the family, right? Like a lot of people do today, right? They die, they leave it to their kids. Kids leave it to their kids. Most of the time to sell it, but they didn't do that back then. If they get, you know, some keep them forever, some stay in the land, and there's a great grandpa's land. We're still living there, right? I got some family members like that down on Chester. They've been on the farm there and they're staying there, and it's been handed down, and they're going to live there. And it's great. Absolutely, right? Numbers 36, you don't have to jump there, but it's about the same thing. It's about the same thing, and we went over this before. If a daughter inherited the land, okay, but wanted to marry from another tribe, okay, she wanted to know if she could keep the land. The answer is no. You can't keep the land, right? If you wanted to marry somebody from the other tribe, another man, you had to give up that land to the next one in line. So you had to forfeit the land because now she was in another tribe, so she would have to give up her land and, say, keep it with the tribe of Asher or whoever, okay? So the land was always to stay in the tribe's family, right? Yeah, and the daughters, right? The daughters inherited the land from the father. And she married into another tribe. She had to give up her inheritance, go to the next family member. God never wanted the land to be transferred. And here's the other thing. God wanted those people to marry within their own tribe. Now, you got to remember, these tribes were large. These weren't like our families of five or six or sevens or whatever. These were a lot of people in these tribes. We're talking thousands of people in a tribe, right? So it's not like they only had three or four men to pick from. They had a lot of people, right? And God says, you marry within your tribe, keep the land in the tribe, and you marry, you know, within your tribe. All right, let's continue on Joshua 17. We'll pick up in verse 14. This is more land for Ephraim and Manasseh. These are Joseph's boys. Verse 14 says, then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit, since we are a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now? So Joshua answered them, If you are a great people, then go up into the forest country and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountain of Ephraim's are too confined for you. Verse 16. But the children of Joseph said, the mountain country is not enough for us. They were a very large group. Let's look at this. And all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley of the have chariots of iron. Boy, how I have little faith, huh? Ye of little faith, both those who are in Beth Shean and its towns, and those who are on the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, you are a great people and have great power. You shall not have only one lot. But the mountain country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down, and its farthest extent shall be yours. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong. So let's talk about this for a minute. So through verses 12 through 18, right, the children of Manasseh, the tribesmen of Manasseh complained to Joshua, and they sound like their parents, right? The ones we read about in the wilderness, right? For 40 years, all they did was complain, right? And Moses had to listen to it. We talked about that. Can you imagine listening to someone complain for 40 years? I don't even like doing that for 4 hours, right? And here they are complaining. The tribesmen of Manasseh complained to Joshua that he did not allot them enough land, not sufficient to the numbers. And the Canaanites, they said, were too tough to drive out altogether, right? Which they were very large. There's no doubt about it. They were a very large tribe, right? But Joshua did permit them to take the extra land and all the hills, and he said, clear it out. There's plenty of land up there. Go get it. And then they said, oh, well, the Canaanites are up there. Right? Joshua told them, well, back in Deuteronomy 20, right, that they could drive them out. He could drive out the Canaanites, for God had promised to be with them and give them victory against the Canaanites, which is in Deuteronomy 20. He says, listen, God is going to give you victory. He has been with us. We captured all this. We've had victory. Go take the land. God is with you. So it sounds like they didn't want to do that. All right. And that ends chapter 17. So let's move on to chapter 18. Now, in chapter 18, the focus shifts to the seven tribes of Israel who didn't yet receive their inheritance, okay? And Joshua organizes a survey. He sends some men out and go check out the land, and we'll get it all surveyed. We'll divide it up. We'll let God, you know, we'll do lots, cast lots for it, let God decide, which they did. So let's go ahead. We'll go right into chapter 18. The remainder of the land divided. It says, verse 1, it says, now the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together in Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. But there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received an inheritance. Verse 3. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Pick out from among you three men from each tribe, and I will send them. They shall rise and go through the land, survey it according to their inheritance, and come back to me. Verse 5. And they shall divide it into seven parts. Judah shall remain in the territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall remain in the territory on the north. You shall therefore survey the land in seven parts and bring the survey here to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. Verse 7. But the Levites had no part among you, right? They were for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance, right? Just stop here for 1 second. Isn't that great? Like the Levites never got an inheritance of the land, right? We've gone over this before. Why? Because God was their inheritance, right? He says, the Levites are my inheritance. They have me for an inheritance. They didn't get any land. It was never promised to them. But isn't that good to be in that group, right? Saying, God's my inheritance, right? That's what we say as Christians, right? God is our inheritance. So the Levites, they never got any land. But they were supplied, the tribes. God made sure you provide for them, for the priesthood. And it says, we'll pick back up here. It says, in Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh, right? They're living on the outside of the promised land by their choice, have received the inheritance beyond the Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. Then the men arose to go away. And Joshua charged those who went to survey the land, saying, go walk through the land, survey it, and come back to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh. See, Joshua, he's saying, the Lord's going to pick these lots out for you, not me. We're going to cast lots for the Lord. Verse 9. So the men went, passed through the land, and wrote the survey in a book in seven parts by the cities. And they came to Joshua at the camp of Shiloh. Then Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the children of Israel according to their divisions. So let's stop here for a minute. So Shiloh, okay, as we're reading about, remember Israel's first camp was Gilgal, right? Remember when they came into the promised land? They set up their camp in Gilgal. Now they've moved to Shiloh, where they set up a tabernacle of meeting and they're worshiping the Lord. Okay? Now remember this. We're talking 2 million people. This isn't a small group of people. This is 2.5 million people doing this. So they just picked up, you know, from Gilgal and they're off to Shiloh. A lot of people, right? That's why I remember when the Jordan River, when they all crossed, right? He dried up the river 16 miles wide for 2 million people to go through. This isn't like clearing out a little path for First Baptist of Samberton to come through here. You're talking 2.5 million people got to come through here. And remember we read that God did this in spring when the banks we read were overflowing. There was so much water. It was like, oh, wow, look at this. God does, right? God likes to do that because those people look at this and say, how are we ever going to cross here? It's the highest it's ever been. God says, I'm going to show you how. He's dried it up, right? So, yeah. So, anyway, they have moved now, as we're reading. They have set up camp in Shiloh. Now, Shiloh is about 9 miles from Bethel and about 20 miles north of Jerusalem. So they're about 20 miles out from Jerusalem and Shiloh, where they set up camp, which remained the center of spiritual attention right in this area, which is in Judges chapter 18, verse 31, and 1 Samuel 1 and 3, that this was going to be the worship area. Right? But due to Israel's sin, God would later let the Philistines devastate Israel and Shiloh, all right, and capture the ark. You guys remember reading that in the book of Samuel, right? Remember when the Ark of the Covenant got captured by the Philistines? It was right here where we're reading, where they've set up camp. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 10 through 17, because of their sin, as we read in the scriptures. God brought judgment on them. And he let the Philistines come in and devastate them and capture the Ark of the Covenant, right? God would later also use Shiloh as an example of judgment in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 12. So as we read verse 8 through 10, right, seven tribes were yet to receive the land. So Joshua sent out the surveys to scout it out. They came back to seven areas, and they casted lots to decide who gets what land. So in other words, God's picking the land. Now Joshua says, I'm not picking the land. We're going to cast lots. Wherever it falls on, that's where the Lord wants you to go, right? And the high priest Eleazar served with Joshua, seeking God's will by casting lots, because God always wanted him to do that, which we're going to read in chapter 19, right? This wasn't some, you know, mere chance of, hey, this is where you're going, this is where we're going. No. God revealed his will to them when they cast lots, right? You guys remember in the book of Acts, right? Remember when Judas, he hung himself, right? He was no more, and they had to pick another apostle to fill in for him, right? And it was Matthias or Mathis, however you want to pronounce it, right? Him and the other fella, and they spun that, said, God, you pick the next apostle. You know all hearts of all men. Fell on Mathis. Some say Matthias, Mathis, and he was next man up. God picked him. Yeah. So casting lots goes all the way back to the Old Testament. And they were still doing it in the New Testament, casting lots. Yeah. And this wasn't dice. This was an actual, like a stick type thing. You know, some we saw, right? Len and I came across some Bible translation said that it was dice. No, that was never dice. That's not biblical. That's not, God didn't have them out there gambling like they're in Vegas. No, they didn't do that. Lots is taking a stick. Hey, Frank, there yours land right there. They didn't do dice, so I don't know whatever translation that is. That's pretty sad. But anyway, yeah, this was done in Proverbs 16, chapter 16, verse 33, said this was how God reveals his will, by casting lots. So they still did it all the way into the book of Acts. All right, let's go ahead. We'll continue. We're going to pick up in verse 11. The land of Benjamin. Verse 11, it says, now the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families. And the territory of their lot came out between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. Their border on the north side began at the Jordan. And the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north, and went up through the mountains westward. It ended at the wilderness of Bethaven. Verse 13, the border went over from there toward Luz, to the side of Luz, which is Bethel, southward, and the border descended at Ataroth, Adar, near the hill that lies on the south side of lower Beth-horon. Verse 14, then the border extended around the west side to the south from the hill that lies before Beth-horon southward. And it ended at Kirjath-Baal, which is Kirjath-Jearim, a city of the children of Judah. This was the west side. The south side began at the end of Kirjath-Jearim, and the border extended on the west and went out to the spring of the waters of Naphtoah. Verse 16. Then the border came down to the end of the mountain that lies before the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is the valley of Rephaim on the north, descended to the valley of Hinnom, to the side of the Jebusite city, that's Jerusalem, on the south, and descended to Enrogel. Verse 17. And it went around from the north, went out to En-Shemesh, and extended to Gileoth, which is before the ascent of Duman, and descended to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. Then it passed along to the north side of Araba, and went down to Araba, and the border passed along to the north side of Beth Hogla. Then the border ended at the north bay of the Salt Sea, at the south end of the Jordan. This was the southern boundary, The Jordan was its border on the east side. This was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin, according to the boundaries, all around, according to their families. So let's just stop here for a minute. I know we're just about done here. Now, Benjamin's lot was between Judah and Ephraim's near Jerusalem, right? The Jebusite city. We read about that last week, right? Jebusite city, because all the Jebusites were living there. That was their stronghold, which they are from the family of the Canaanites, right? But they, the Jebusites, that's why I said Jebusite city, they went into Jerusalem. They set up a stronghold there. And they remained in that land, and they were Canaanites. They were also supposed to be driven out, but they didn't. Israel didn't drive them out. Not until King David arrives on the scene, and he conquers Jerusalem, made it the capital, and got rid of them all. But not until then. So that was a long time before he came and got rid of the Jebusites. Which, of course, the Jebusites were still around. They just took off into other areas. They never did get rid of all these ites, all these seven wicked nations. They never got rid of them. And as I brought up before, God told them in the scriptures, if you don't drive all these people out, you don't get rid of them, you don't destroy them, they're going to be thorns in your sides the rest of your life. And guess what's happening? There's still thorns in Israel's side, all of them around them, right? God told him, he said, you don't get rid of these people, they're going to be thorns in your side your whole life. Still are. Interesting. So the rest of these verses here, verses 21 through 28, are just a bunch of cities. I'm going to save you the pain of trying to hear me pronounce them. So you can read these on your own and check them out for yourself. And after you read them, you'll probably say, yeah, I know why Sean didn't do that. Makes total sense to me now. So why don't we go ahead, this ends chapter 18 and 19, two short chapters. Why don't we go ahead, we'll close in prayer, then we can have a little discussion. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your word, letting us know, Lord, the importance of obedience, the importance of how important it is for obedience and to come to you with counsel before we make any decisions. We thank you, Lord, for opening our ears and our hearts and our minds and our eyes to your word this afternoon, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.